May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it comes to the topic of prayer, one thing that I like, or that is maybe challenging, is there is no one size fits all. So it means what works for me might not work for you. What works for you might not work for me. But the most important thing is how we relate with God. So if you were expecting that today I'm going to bring you a formula, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I do not have any formula that I'm going to give you on how to pray. But I'm going to share a little bit of what I think will help us in praying. When Thy Kingdom Come was set up, one thing that I feel we should make straight right from the very start is Thy Kingdom Come is not a prayer competition. There is no one who is employed to judge who is praying better than who. There is no one who is there to judge who is praying longer than who. But it is an initiative that seeks to unite all people wherever they are, wherever they stand in their relationship with Christ, whichever position they are, whether they are in UK, whether they are in Saudi Arabia, whether they are in Zimbabwe, it is an initiative that seeks to bring together people physically and spiritually and speak with God. The main purpose is to seek to unite all people, is to seek to ask God for His will. What do the words Thy Kingdom Come means? We do not even know what the kingdom of God is like, but yet we have the confidence, the courage, the strength to pray Thy Kingdom Come. It means we are opening ourselves to receive whatever God is going to give us. The only thing that we know that is written in the Bible, when Jesus is explaining about the kingdom of God, He is saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of them all. But when it is planted, it grows to give shade to all. What does it mean to you as you reflect on that and you are praying, Thy Kingdom Come? What are your expectations? What are my expectations? We are expecting that the seed that we are planting in this period between Ascension and Pentecost is going to grow and give shade to those around us, to those who do not believe in Christ, to those who do not share in the relationship with Christ. I want to draw us to our first reading from Acts. There is something that is funny about this whole event. Jesus takes his disciples back to Mount Olives. 40 days ago, he went with these same disciples to Mount Olives to pray with them, but they all could not pray. They slept, and he prayed alone. Father, let your will be done. When the enemy came to attack him, these same people, they fled. They left him alone. And yet, Jesus walks with them again, the journey that he had walked with them 40 days ago. He goes with them back to the same place that they had left him before. But one thing that is very striking is something has changed now. 40 days ago, they left Mount Olives individually, running away. But today, after ascension, they are heading back into Jerusalem together. It's no longer a one-man's business, but it is now a journey that they are working together. Meaning to say, when we are talking about prayer, it is a two-dimensional thing. It is something that is done individually as well as communal, if I should call it. Prayer is not just something that will just say, if I pray on my own, it is enough. It is not enough. Have you ever wondered, how did we get to know of Jesus' prayer, the whole of chapter 17, if he had just gone there and prayed alone? If he was on his own, who was going to know and give us detail of all the words that he had used in his prayer? Meaning to say, there was someone who was behind when Jesus was praying as an individual. There were other people who were with him. The disciples were with him. That's how they got to know the words that he prayed and wrote them down and shared with us. So praying alone, on your own, at home, is not just enough. It is just another part. But it is not complete. It is very important to remember that when we are talking about prayer, it is something that we cannot separate our individual prayer life and praying together as a community. That is why when we are talking of thy kingdom come, we are not just emphasizing on someone praying on their own. But the idea is also, when you are praying alone as an individual, come together with other people. Share your personal prayer with other people and make it a community. The disciples, when they left Jesus after he was taken up to heaven, they walked this journey together as a community. And they went into the upper room and joined other people. The women were also there. The other disciples, they were also there. Meaning to say that they opened up themselves to embrace everyone. Prayer is about having a common good, which is to have a union with Christ. Most of the times we emphasize on having a relationship with God. But prayer does not just seek to have a relationship. It seeks to have a union, to go a step further other than just having a relationship, to have a union. Meaning to say, there is something that is opening up to be united with Christ. I can have a relationship with someone, but yet they are not people that I care about. I can just belong to a group, but yet I do not share the same goal, or maybe I do not have this much concern about the people that I belong to that group. But yet, when we are talking about union, there is a hunger and thirst for more. Jesus, as he was praying, he keeps on referring to that union between him and God the Father. And as he was praying for his disciples, he also refers back to that union that they may be one as we are one. Meaning to say, it is very important that whenever we are praying as a community together, whenever we are praying even as an individual, we should open ourselves up to be united with God. We should open ourselves up to be united with each other. Jesus did not just desire that his disciples be united amongst themselves. But he knew that by them being united, they are also being united with God. By them being one, they are also being one with him and the Father. So when we get to that point of praying, not seeking just my own personal good, not just seeking my own personal will, but to be concerned about the next person who is sitting beside me, thinking of the other person whom I have never met, but whom I know that is a child of God. When I include that person in my prayer, I am praying like what Jesus did. That's how he expects us to pray. Prayer is about presence. Jesus go before God. He looked up into heaven. Then he started praying. That posture for him was a posture to show that he was now present before God. He was now ready to speak with the Father. The disciples, they got into the upper room, and it is written, those who were present. We were never told what they were talking about all this while when they were walking. Meaning to say, when we get into prayer, there is this tape of being present to God that we need to make. We may be present in this church, and yet not present before God. And when we get into prayer, we are removing ourselves from all those things that distract us and making ourselves to being ready to receive from God. It is not easy. It is never easy because there are so many distractions. But how can we be fully present to God in the midst of all distractions? It is all about desiring to be still. It is all about going before God, sitting still, absorb all the noise that is in the atmosphere, absorb everything that surrounds the atmosphere, and make it push you into the presence of God, for that is where God is. So you can find yourself in a tube train in London, full of people with the noise, and yet you can find yourself in the presence of God. How is that possible? Silence does not only mean the absence of noise. Silence means how to be present to God in the midst of noise. Being able to master, how can I use this noise to help me into prayer? I remember one of the days we were having an argument with one of the community members. He was commenting about how some parishes do not allow children to be in the church because they distract someone. I'm so happy today that we have a child who is here today. And he was like, the church is dead when there are no kids. We need that noise, the baby crying, you know, it makes the people, it makes the place alive. And yet for some, it's a distraction. We have come up with techniques of how to remove children from the church and placing them in some place where they will not distract us. But being present to God is, how am I able to connect with God when the child next to me is crying? How am I able to connect with God when the child next to me is talking? By absorbing the words, the sound that is coming from that child, it leads us and directs us to God. For Jesus uses these children as an example that whoever does not accept this child will not enter the kingdom of God. If you deny this child, then it will be difficult for you to be in the kingdom of God. So being present to God is not about shutting ourselves up and say, I do not want any distractions. But it is about how we make those distractions help us to be present to God. It is about how we find ourselves being comfortable wherever we are and connect and speak with God. Prayer is sensitive to time. When Jesus starts praying, he prays, Father, the time has come that you glorify your Son. And when he goes on to pray for his disciples, he is referring, I was with them, but now I am about to leave them, so they will be alone. Prayer also is sensitive to time. We should give ourselves time to reflect on the things that have happened in the past. Things that we need to ask God for forgiveness. Things that happened in the past that we need to be thankful to God for. And we look at ourselves, our present time, what is happening around us. So prayer means it's not just about going before God and praying with the Bible. It also means praying with the newspaper, praying with the news, giving ourselves time to listen to what is happening in the world, to read, to know what is happening in the world. So as to help us to pray. With all this that is happening, what does the future look like? Because Jesus' prayer is not just vague. It is very specific. He is telling the Father what he wants. He is not just talking of things that he thinks he should say, but he is very clear of what he wants. He is very clear of what he is speaking about. Meaning to say, as we are praying for the world, there is no way that we can pray for the world when we do not know what the world needs. When we do not know what is happening in the world. So prayer is something that we do alongside the news, the newspaper. Prayer is being silent and listen to God. Speak. It's not just about us going before Him and telling Him what we want, but it is also a moment to sit down and being still and listen to what he is saying. As I go and sit down, I invite us all to be still and listen to what God is saying to us this morning. To be still and listen for his direction. What is it that he wants us to pray for specifically today? What is it that he wants us to pray for in this period of thy kingdom come? Amen.